in here. You look casual, relaxed.
I get to wear graphic t-shirts and comfy pants. I don't wear ties for the time being. I
gotta love it.
I mean, it's the life.
Love having you in here, though. We have Colts Broncos tomorrow night. I laugh because I'm like, you know, it's football, and people are gonna. So for betting purposes, we're gonna, you know, we might talk about.
We need
that.
To. I think we talked about. How did I do last time?
I don't remember.
I think we got a flashback. Where's Scott when I need him?
Yeah, exactly. That's that. He is the bookkeeper. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines, a new branch in Ames, three locations in Omaha, many, many more across the state. They'll take care of all your personal business, mortgage, wealth management, and private banking needs. Go in, tell them Steen sent you, open up an account, and see what they can do for you. What they're going to do is commitment that you can count on. So they're going to make your banking easy. They're going to make sure that you have everything that you need and you don't have to worry about your personal banking, which saves you more time to worry about the Iowa State Cyclones and the Iowa Hawkeyes, which we'll be getting to here in just a second. Northwest Bank member FDIC. Okay, you and I talked a little bit about Iowa during the break. So let's start with Iowa State, since that's not as fresh in our minds a little bit.
Makes sense.
One of the things that since Matt Campbell's been there is his inability on games coming up that point spreads are close or close games.
You saw that set too.
Yeah,
huh?
Winning close games, beating teams that are equal to you. They don't have a problem taking care of the teams they're supposed to. They don't have a problem taking care of teams that people don't think they should beat.
Right.
But you on those 50-50 calls, you have to have a better record than what he has.
Yep.
And sometimes that's just because of one or two small little things. And I said this to Scott the other day with the Hawkeyes. You wouldn't think this, but the reason the Hawkeyes have had as good a record as they've had in the last couple of years is Taylor, their punter.
Yeah.
Because he got them out of situations and put them in great situations that helped them win games that they probably wouldn't have.
Absolutely.
And they've had kicking that they've always been able to trust.
Yep.
And the things that are coming back to haunt Iowa State right now are those two things. Our punting almost cost us a game at Iowa and didn't help us in some of the other ones. And our field goal kicking last weekend. And listen, it's not easy. If it was easy, there'd be all kinds of us out there trying to kick field goals.
And you're dealing with a freshman too.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that's the aspect. I felt terrible for that kid. You know, it's kicking's not an easy spot to be in. And what's crazy to me, I think the most was he walked up for that game tying field goal. And there wasn't a thought in my head that said he was going to make it.
No.
Because he had missed two.
And I don't think there was a thought in his head. And by the time he got it out, I really thought that.
But at the same time, anybody that's going to be critical of Matt Campbell deciding not to go for it on 4th-and-1, I still think you're looking at it through tainted glasses a little bit, because it's not like they're going to get it to the end zone necessarily in the time frame that they had. So they're going to have to settle for a field goal in some aspect.
Yeah, and my only thought process on that is 4th-and-1, if that's an Ames,
maybe I
kick a field goal and I try to make it, and then we see what happens.
Yep.
If I'm on the road in Kansas and we're not playing good and they're not playing good, maybe I just want to get out of here. Maybe.
But you got to remember, too, their defense had played well in the second half.
I mean,
Iowa State's defense wasn't going to give up another touchdown to Kansas that game.
I don't think they were either.
I have no problem playing for the tie in that moment. What concerns me more is Iowa State only putting up, what was it, 11 points in that game?
Yeah.
Something like that.
They just, inside the 25, they have not played well the last couple
of weeks. And that's kind of been hit or miss for Iowa State football under Matt Campbell, as you had mentioned. And I think the most interesting part is you've got to remember, too, by the end of last season or maybe even the season before, Iowa State had learned to win close games.
Yes.
They had a veteran group that had gone through these same trials, tribulations, adversity that this team's going through right now. This team is very young.
Yes.
As veteran as that O-line is, and as veteran as Will McDonald and Orion Vance are on defense and Anthony Johnson are in the secondary, they're a really young team. And you got to learn to win close games.
Think about that. Breece Hall. Breece Hall, Brock Purdy, Charlie Kolar, Chase Allen.
Yeah.
For not only, and you could throw Hummel in there.
Absolutely.
You had vastly.
Ania Wazirike. Yeah. You could go down the line. I mean, it's
vastly
crazy.
Intelligent players. I mean, just never, you just never lost their cool, never did. I mean, you just had
that.
And
they had that because they played.
Yeah.
They had reps.
Yep. Leadership.
Yes.
And not that they're missing leadership. Listen, they were missing their top two running backs and didn't know they were going to be missing their top two running backs. That affects play calling. The defense has done everything that they could do. My take on the week before with Baylor was, I think there can be people on the coaching staff that can get angry when things like that happen. It's the only time I've ever said a critical thing about Matt Campbell. I think he lost his cool and the team didn't know what to do.
Yeah. And here's what's hard, right? I mean, he lost his cool, but the game was already thrown off rhythm. And rhythm is such a big thing for football players. It's a big thing staying on schedule. It's a big thing staying on defense. You get momentum and ride those ebbs and flows. I'd agree with you, and this is where Matt has failed multiple times. Go back to the Big 12 championship when he lost his stuff with Isheem Young's targeting hit.
Yep.
It throws his team into a tizzy. They're focused on being angry at the refs and maybe not as focused on handling business in front of them. Same time, those calls do have an adverse effect
on the
game themselves and the game flow.
And I like the passion.
Yes.
I just think that he needs someone on the team other than him.
I'd love to see Tom Manning or Haycock go after it, but I think he also
touch him on the shoulder and go get some.
Yeah,
I don't care if you get us 15, just go get us something.
To that point, though, I also think Matt Campbell is the guy to go get some, because if you lose Haycock, I'm sorry, Haycock might be more valuable right now than Matt Campbell because of the second half adjustments he makes.
I'm not saying that is not true as well. And just on a side note before we hop over to the Hawkeyes too, I agree. We talked off air, so it didn't do us any good. We both think K-State is a tough game, but it's a winnable game.
It should be, but it's another close spread.
Yep.
It's one of those games where you can lean one way or the other. I mean, what's funny is Snyder might have gone away, but Chris Kleiman picked up Vampire Football right where Snyder left it.
That's the one place that he fit in.
Oh my goodness.
Besides where he was.
He, coming out of NDSU, he knows how to play smash mouth football. He fits right into the abnormality that Kansas State has always been, and they're going to bleed clock on you. They're going to make you maximize your possession and be efficient. And if you're not, they're going to beat you.
Yep.
Look at what they did to Oklahoma.
Yep.
I mean, and I will say this too about Oklahoma. Really glad they left the conference this early.
Yeah.
Happy to see they're just on their way out right now.
Them in Texas, the two biggest budgets.
Run by TCU.
Two biggest budgets in the Big 12. Yeah. See you when you're out there.
Enjoy playing Bama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, LSU every year, and
not going to be
Big 12's going to thrive.
Not going to be fun, and I agree with that one as well.
Sorry to take it off topic.
If we move on to Iowa, if that game,
where do you want to start?
They don't match up well with Illinois.
I haven't watched enough Illinois to know if they match up well, but knowing what Illinois just did against Wisconsin, you're darn right they don't match up.
Yeah.
Because Wisconsin and Iowa are one of the same, run heavy.
Yeah.
Not a big play, not a big spark. It's dink and dunk, and we're gonna march our way down the field instead of explosiveness. And Illinois right now under Bielema is the exact opposite of we're gonna go after you hard and kind of just see where it goes. And Bielema knows Iowa well enough. I mean, he's got the Tiger Hawk logo on his skin now. So, I mean, or he's had it since he was 19.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced. Even if it was Northwestern right now, I wouldn't be convinced that Iowa could beat Northwestern. And I hate to say that look, people can say what they want. I am an Iowa fan. I was born and bred black and gold here in Iowa. Grew up watching them, loved them. But at the end of the day, what we're seeing on the field right now isn't the Iowa that Kirk Ferentz has prided himself on.
No.
The last, two plus decades.
And even with all the players on defense that are great defensive players, there's no first or second round draft pick on the field.
I mean, Riley Moss.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Small.
Yes.
I mean, he's tough.
There's a reason he came back for it.
Yeah. Jack Campbell. I mean, he's one of the best athlete football player, whatever you want to say, that I've seen.
Van Ness is going to go pro eventually.
Yes. And they still have those two tight ends that could, but I mean, it's just not, that defense isn't, that defense plays, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
The state of Iowa has two of some of the best defensive coordinators that have ever been in college football.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing what they can do with the type of talent that they bring in.
Yeah.
They turn that talent into great talent, and that's a
it's a developmental program.
If that game was in Iowa,
it wouldn't matter to me.
I don't think it would matter to me either. And I saw today, Circa Sports came out today, and I'm going to give them credit, even though they don't give me credit sometimes. I was listening to Ken Miller at KXNO with Circa, because I love the Circa guy.
Right.
He said that Iowa and Iowa State have a chance each to be favored in one game for the rest of the year.
Yep.
And even that is a stretch depending on how they play this weekend.
And I would have expected that from Iowa State, not Iowa.
Yeah.
And with the talent that they returned, I know there's some spots again, offensive line, all that kind of stuff. And I said it to you in the break, Steen. I actually think Iowa has made the right personnel moves on the offensive line.
I do too.
To get more aggressive. That's why I think we've seen success with running the ball. But until Spencer Petras can hit the easy throws, I'm going to be worried every night. Like, I'm not going to sleep well because of it, because he can't throw a simple seam route to Laporta down this downfield when he's wide open. Can't hit Brody Brecht on a four-yard out route.
He can't hit any out route.
I mean,
I've never seen him hit an out route.
He's very uncomfortable in the pocket. Yeah. I almost feel like he thinks there's footsteps around him. It's kind of one of those ghost things that you feel of, there's a ghost near me, you know, and I'm not comfortable. And that's a scary thought. Now, do you go to Alex Padilla? I mean,
he must be horrible in practice. Just horrible. Because I don't get it. They have to go, oh my God,
it doesn't matter if Padilla is great or terrible in practice. The reason they haven't gone to him is because Kirk can't put egg on his face and say, I made the wrong call.
Right. That leads me right into this one. He's been there for so long, that shouldn't even be a thought process. But I would have said there's no way that Wisconsin's going to fire Paul Christ.
Well, did you see the payout they had to give him to?
Yeah, but he had 20. And what a guy. He took 11. I'm like, are you crazy? Give me my $20 million.
Hey, can we line something up for us normal people where I can make a few $100,000 in my buyout clauses or something?
Just give me my money. Yeah. You know, and the Wisconsin, just side note. Yeah. They should have hired Jim Leonard from the very beginning.
Yeah.
The players love him.
Yeah.
And see if he can coach.
Yeah.
Because if not, he's going to get angry and he's going to leave and he's going to go somewhere and he's going to show you he coached and you're going to go, oh.
That might actually be one job that actually does kind of scare me for Matt Campbell, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Big Ten, Upper Midwest, kind of has that feel, tie, slash, and prestige.
And it has prestige in it. And it's I get that. It's just, getting beat by Kansas doesn't help that. So, I mean, I don't want Matt to go.
Yeah.
But I'm also, you got to do what you got
to
do.
The Big Ten West needs to secede from the Big Ten join the Mountain West.
They actually said today that it's getting to the point where the rest of the Big Ten's going to go, okay, we need to get rid of this division
deuces,
stuff.
Yeah. See ya.
And just everybody plays and we just rotate it. Because when we add USC and we add UCLA and if we add those two others, We're not going to be in divisions anyway, so let's just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Another thought on both quarterback. How about just for giggles? I was going to say a bad word in giggles.
S's and G's.
Yep. How about six times a game, you put them under center, and they go back, and they pass.
Yeah.
And see if it's a different rhythm that gets them in a different rhythm. Maybe it gets your offensive line in a different rhythm. Because both teams are not pass blocking very well, and that's – The my ears perk up because they're like, well, we got 3 yards because he's already back there.
Right.
He's going to take three more back there. And so we only have to do this. But if they know he's under, maybe they pay better. I don't know. But put him under center and let him throw every once in a while.
The other thing that has shocked me about Hunter Deckers is maybe he hasn't. I don't feel like he's used his feet as much as I expected him
to.
That's
the part of losing the weight. You don't want to. He didn't think he could take the same punishment. I get that. I think if he'd have lost half the weight and still had that bulldog mentality, but still, I don't want
to
run
I go
Big
back to the
either.
Kid that was running around for West Sioux back in the day, and I mean, he was a bulldozer.
Oh, he was.
And I get college game is different. Dudes are built different. But I mean, that was what they brought you to Iowa State partially to be.
Yep. I think he sees the field.
Yeah.
And gets the ball to people better than Brock Purdy, but boy, his escapability is nowhere near. No, Brock had that
intuition early on. I mean, year one, you go back to that Oklahoma State game, first game of the season.
First game he came in, he had it,
and it was just that gamer mentality. And I think maybe Hunter's hesitant to do it.
And I think it'll come to him.
Yeah.
And it's his first year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't fault him by any means for it. It'll come in time.
We're comparing him to a four-year starter.
And you also have to remember, too, that pocket hasn't necessarily lent itself to escapability either.
And that's kind of the way, too, because I thought this year that Iowa State had the opportunity because I thought their offensive line was better. And there was more of them.
Yeah.
But I think what's happening is with the Big 12, I think everybody's defenses are taking bits and pieces from everybody else's defenses, and they're getting better athletes. Or if they're not getting better athletes, they're getting speed.
You know what you're seeing is Iowa State set the trend. They took it from Clemson to an extent, and Matt Campbell will be the first one to tell you that. But you're seeing three down linemen and eight in coverage, or, you know, with linebackers. And Matt Campbell and Haycock kind of brought that to the Big 12. Well, now everyone's catching on because they got tired of being air raided on. And so now quarterbacks have less options to go to beyond 5 yards.
Yep.
And they also have less options to run because now you've got linebackers sitting within 5 yards. And so it's just a really interesting game of cat and mouse and how do you evolve. And I think that's the next step for Iowa State that they've got to figure out.
And I think one of the things they're missing as well is you forget Mike Rose and Jake Hummel. If Mike Rose was healthy, they both would be playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you lose, but one was instinctive and one was big and fast.
Yes.
And it's hard to get that. And
100%.
And you can tell. I mean, Jake Hummel might have had the most spectacular, unspectacular career at Iowa State because he was always in the right place. Yeah. He always made tackles.
He knew his stuff.
And
high
he was
IQ.
Fast.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's stuff that you don't think about that you're missing.
Yep.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. I got you on for one more. Do I have
Let's
you for one
it.
More?
Yep. Let's do it.
And you're listening to Steen on Sports. Schaefer and I in here, 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. We'll be back right after this break.
Here's a look at the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. We're more than halfway through our week now, especially now. It's that time of night. Be careful driving home, if you would. You're listening to Steen on Sports. We're bringing sports your
what
way every day.
What time of night is that?
Happy hour. Rush hour.
There we go.
Rush hour, not happy. Happy hours are fun, too, but don't combine them or get them mixed up.
Drink responsibly, folks.
Yes. You're listening to us on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. And Schaefe is at JSchaefeCreate. He is with Bing Bang. It fits you. It fits you to not be busy 24/7.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still busy, just not 24/7.
Not 24/7.
I get to balance a little bit more life nowadays.
Get to see the family, which is pretty
huge.
Cool. I'm very, not that you need me to be proud of you, but I'm very proud of
that.
I mean,
it's a huge
step.
Yeah. It's big.
And it can't be taken lightly. This segment, who do I have? I have Demos, Des Moines Orthopedic.
A great group. They help with a knee injury.
They do. They're helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. I'm just going to jump right into this one. They purchased, performance. What are we? Engineered performance.
Yeah.
It's an athletic performance and training program that fits in with Demos because of the rehabilitation aspect of it and having professional people get you through that. But it also helps Demos get through that because they're trying to get you to train and strengthen the right way so you don't end up at Demos. Demos Urgent Cares in Ankeny in West Des Moines. You can go on demos.com. You can see what waiting times are. You don't need appointments. As Scott and I always tell you, bone sticking out, bleeding, that is emergency room. The other stuff, if you have an athlete and he sprains his ankle or his knee or his shoulder or anything, you get to go to Demos, you get to go to these urgent cares, and they stay open late, And you get to have somebody that is what they do. And they're going to look at that. And they're going to take care of it right there. Or you're going to be back in early in the morning.
Yeah.
And they're going to take care of it.
They'll give you their best advice and they'll go about it. Us old people need it too, though. Remember, it's not just kids. Men's league hockey can do some damage.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Because that's the thing about old man, any of those things.
Yeah.
Golf. I need to go to the chiropractor after every time I golf anymore. I'm playing better.
You're swinging hard, Steve.
I'm not even swinging. It's just I use things I don't use all the time. And you would think I'd be. I mean, I play like three or four times a week. You'd think I'd.
All right. Where is my invite for three or four times a week?
Anytime.
Come on.
I have a hard enough time getting you here. If I had to choose getting you here or golf. No, we can go golfing too. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yep.
MVP. Judge or Ohtani.
Can we do Co?
I would
vouch for Co.
I would vouch for Co too.
It'll be Judge.
It will.
But I think Ohtani's had, and again, it's tough because in the Midwest we don't see a lot of West Coast games.
Right.
Fortunately, they're not blacked out like half the other games in the league. Right.
Isn't that crazy?
But I think Ohtani's had one of the most spectacular seasons of any baseball player, and deserves it just as much as Judge. But Judge has gotten the spotlight. He's a New York Yankee. He's hit 62 home runs. They're winning. They're going to make the postseason. I mean, I just think that lends itself to your MVP.
The Anaheim or Los Angeles Angels now have 73 wins.
Yeah.
He had 15 of them. He won 15 games. His ERA was 2.35.
What'd he bat?
You know what? They didn't put his average in here. He had 34 home runs, 95 RBIs. I think he was like a 260, 270 guy.
For a pitcher?
Stole bases. had 213 strikeouts. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's going to do that besides him.
Yeah. Not in today's game.
And I don't know where he's going to be doing it at. And I don't know where Aaron Judge is going to be doing it at.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
There's a lot of money there, but someone's going to fork it over because guess what? Those guys mean ticket sales.
Oh, my goodness.
They mean advertising dollars.
Yeah. And you know, they're both doing things. Ohtani's doing something that nobody's ever done. And to be really truthful, Aaron Judge is 6'7", cleats on, he's 6'8". Yeah. Nobody's ever done that. And he's like he's the DH. No, he's not. He played right field, and then they had injuries. He played center field for most of the year and played flawlessly in center field.
He's a true athlete. He's a true baseball player.
Gun.
I mean,
for an arm. Steals bases.
It's not fair. And you know, it makes you appreciate baseball for what it is and what it can be still, because we talked about it in segment one that I was in, you know, like, he's humble about it too. He doesn't walk around with that chip on his shoulder like, oh, I'm the guy, everyone bowed down to me. There's a lot of humility there. Yep. You can kind of sense where he gets it from when you see his family and how they celebrate his home runs. Absolutely. And all that stuff. It's just baseball needed this to an extent. And
Roger Maris's family needed this.
Yes.
I think they could put to rest all the rest of it and go, you know, now we were having a hard time believing all the rest of the stuff, but now we have something we can believe in.
It's concrete.
Yeah, and I love that part.
It's in an era, too, where baseballs are unloaded, so to speak. They've changed the baseball this year. You've got to remember that, too. There are less home runs being hit this year.
And
you can be a conspiracy theorist and say, well, they're swapping out the ball for Aaron because they need it. And it's like, tell me an ump that is coordinated enough. They can't even call a strike right half the time.
No, and pitchers wouldn't do it either.
I respect you.
Pitchers can't. They'd feel the difference. Pitchers.
Did you see what that 62 home run was going for?
Yeah,
$2 million.
Yep, crazy. A rich guy though.
Did you see? I know.
Rented out seats, so he was out there by himself.
Did you see the kid jump into the bullpen in case he fell into the bullpen? I'm like, it's not a bad move.
No, you're gonna get kicked out of the stadium, but hey, it's okay.
You get to take the ball with you, maybe. So
could be.
Hockey starts soon, Tuesday.
I know. It's coming up. NBA's coming up. Hockey's coming up.
Wild start their season in a couple weeks. I know they're not on 1700, but they're my guys.
No, they're my guys too. I love going. Yeah. I love going to all those things. Arena. I just, my Saturdays are you know, it's like you used to say, when you do this and it's from 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night, when it's Saturday and Sunday, man,
you,
it's hard.
Sit.
Yes.
On your rear.
Yeah,
and do nothing.
And do nothing.
But the reason I bring that up is we're getting into like that best time, like 2-3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
A best time of year where it's like playoff baseball, NFL, college football, hockey, NBA.
And college basketball not far behind.
Yeah. It's, I mean, college basketball in November is forgettable.
It's the best. And we'll talk. I want to get a little bit of football, and then we're going to talk, because I have this sneaky feeling that women's basketball in the state of Iowa might have all four teams qualify for the NCAA tournament.
If the Valley gets some respect.
Because they have talent at UNI and at Drake. Yep. They've done a great job.
Yep.
And the talent at Iowa and Iowa State, as long as everyone stays healthy, we've never
charts.
Seen anything like it.
It's going to be a heck of a Cy-Hawk.
Incredible
yeah.
how it's going to be. To you, Sorry. The best team in the NFL is?
It's got to be the Chiefs for me right now, I think. I mean, I know people are high on the Eagles, people are high on the Bills, but I think what we just saw with the Chiefs do to Tampa Bay shows that they are a complete football team.
That one play that he made when he ran and ran and ran, and then did a silhouette, and then just he's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I don't know how to explain him. I get Josh Allen is like a silent assassin.
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes is doing it out in front of you, making fun of you doing it, saying I'm doing this and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I think
not doing it in a flashy way. He's just doing
it. He's just playing football. It's backyard football to an extent. I think, you know, people can argue the Eagles. To me, the Eagles haven't truly played anybody. The Jags are a surprise of the year, certainly. But I don't think the Eagles have truly played anybody. And where do you go from there? Like, Green Bay is formidable. What's scary about Green Bay is they're winning with defense right now. So if that offense
can
get going and Aaron Rodgers can keep rolling, I mean, look out world. But I really do think the Chiefs are the most complete team on the field right now. I mean, there's plenty of parity.
Both sides, even. I mean, they
defensively, they're tough.
They
I mean,
well. That was always the Achilles, the line and the defense. And they've straightened those up. Now they lost Tyreek Hill. I don't think that it doesn't matter right now. I don't know if
they've got weapons.
Yeah, I don't know if it matters during playoffs or whatever.
And I do think Tampa figures it out. I don't forget, guys, the last 2 weeks have been a bit of an anomaly. You lose Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Julio Jones, your top three wide receivers in that game against the Saints where Mike Evans gets ejected.
And he's still been in every game.
Right, and then he comes back next week. Well, then, you know, you're still missing Chris. You get Chris Godwin back for a game, and Julio Jones is playing in that game, but you've got to reestablish chemistry. That defense for Tampa Bay is still very, very good.
And they're going through a $5 billion divorce.
Talk about bad headspace. Oh,
man.
But I don't see anybody on, like, 49ers could be in the mix.
Yep. Here's my take on the Bills and the Eagles. They still are going to have five or six games that's played in the crappiest weather that you could lose games you don't want to lose.
I mean, look at the New England game last year. Remember that? They had a blizzard and you couldn't kick a field goal and they lost to New England or whatever, or barely squeaked one out.
That's the only bad thing about that. Your take on Tua.
I've got a lot of takes. Do we have an hour?
It was painful.
I saw the hit, and I said, oh, his hit, that's a bad hit. You know, not the first one. Saw the first one after the fact. How he was allowed back into that game after being concussed in that late hit is mind-boggling. And I know the Dolphins are trying to wash their hands clean by firing the independent neurosurgeon or neurologist. But then to let him play five nights later. And you're not jeopardizing just a career at that point, you're jeopardizing a life. Like, I mean, there are plenty of neurologists out there who said two concussions to that extent can kill people.
Buffalo Bills wouldn't have done that with Josh Allen. The Kansas City Chiefs are not doing it. Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be on the field. They're not doing that.
Andy Reid wouldn't have let it happen.
No. The Miami Dolphins have somebody that's playing at the top of his game, and
they may never get him back.
We sat in here, and Scott and I, because Scott is a Dolphins fan.
Yeah.
We sat in here and talked about it, and he's like, he goes, anybody talking to him, at best, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
It's 50. Oh, yeah. You can go back but I think it's more 40, 60, 30, 70 that they're going, dude, they're going to have to pay you out. You're going to have money and you're going to have a family and you're going to have kids. Go home and sit there and watch your hands and watch what you're doing.
Yeah.
And after that,
And
tell me that you want to go back out there because it's that big of an adrenaline.
Well, and the second you get touched, I mean, where's your head go?
Yep.
You know, and so it was really hard to watch, and you would never wish that on anybody. But the way the Miami Dolphins handled it, they should be fine. They should deal with suspensions. They should be punished to the highest extent because if anything, you just step the argument that you're protecting players from CTE and concussions, you set that argument back extensively.
Yes. So. Next one, and I want to say his name is Robert Sarver. Sarver, Phoenix Suns, Phoenix Mercury owner.
Yep.
All the things that he did, pressure, he was just going to pay a fine, then pressure got to him.
Yep.
And he has to sell both teams.
Yep.
How is the NFL getting away with not taking a team away from Daniel Snyder and making him do the same? I mean, that is the biggest brand in sports.
I mean, you got to remember, the NBA didn't actually pressure him. It was the outside noise and the NBA.
And the players.
I mean, yes. And Silva said, we can't tell. An owner functions differently. You're talking about somebody who dictates salaries for how many employees. And does that make it right? No, not at all.
Right.
But at the same time, there are bigger implications than if it's a GM or a player or a coach.
No,
because
absolutely
you can,
true.
You fire one of those people, it impacts that person and that person only, or to an extent. You know, you fire an owner, you can't. I mean, it's one of those hairy lines that you just can't handle. Now, Snyder and all that stuff, I mean, they're the Washington Commanders now, and it is what it is. And frankly, like, it took way longer than it probably needed to. Same time, I just... There's so much that's fickled within NFL compared to...
I mean, they're billionaires that are running these teams.
It is the highest profit-making sport in the world, right, outside of soccer. So
it is. So for our fans out there, just to, because you've talked about it, give them a little bit of taste of what Savannah Bananas is.
Picture Harlem Globetrotters meets baseball. I mean, you're looking at TikTok dances for your pitch windup. You're looking at a dude on stilts trying to hit baseballs out of the park. And I mean, it's truly, they found a way to make a single A ballpark or whatever. It was like it's a college summer league, basically. And they found a way to make it more entertaining, to bring in profit. Now they're going to be traveling. And guess what? Coming to Des Moines in 2023 in August. And so it's huge. I'm stoked for it. Like, I've already looked into buying Savannah Banana jerseys and hats. It's if you're not aware of it, just go on YouTube, look up Savannah Bananas. It's epic. You'll love it. It's a great outing for your kids, for families. Like, it will make the non-baseball lover in your life want to watch baseball.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, Randy Wehofer is,
yeah.
I mean, he's got it going on, man. He gets
that whole
it.
Organization has been so smart,
top to bottom. Yeah. You bring him in here, I am like a kid in a candy store, because I have, you know, we want to come in here, we want to talk Cubs, and I want to talk old school baseball, yep, and new school.
And Randy knows his stuff.
Oh my goodness, I mean,
no doubt about it.
We're very, very lucky with Sam Burnaby and him and the whole organization and how well it's run. It's amazing that, you know, it's just that it's amazing it's been here as long. They're getting ready to do a bunch of renovations. It's going to be fun. But that's going to be, you better get your as soon as they say, hey, these tickets are.
I think
are
you can sign up for notification on when it goes on sale. So check it out. I think Catch Des Moines has that one on hand. Greg Edwards, shout out to them and the whole staff over there.
Yeah, they are amazing.
Yeah.
All right, I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, buddy.
Hopefully next week
Let
after.
Let me know. We'll find some time.
We'll just keep going.
Check
I got
on.
One segment left. I'm going to come back in here. We'll wrap this day up. We'll talk a little bit about John while he's not in here. No, just kidding. I'd only be good stuff anyway. You're listening to Steen on Sports on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Be back for the last segment right after this.
To Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Wednesday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. I want to thank the sponsors of our show, DMOS, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Woodman Controls, iCubs, Come and Go, BetMGM. Couldn't do this without them. Want to thank John Schaefer for coming in today. He is at J Schaefer Create Bing bang. He looks great. He looks relaxed. He looks like he's enjoying. And it's great to have him back in the studio as well. Let's see. What else do we have? Tomorrow night we have Colts Broncos. Tomorrow, David Eicholt at 5, Brendan Stiles at 5:21, and then I have Maddie Nelson, and he will be in at 5 o'clock on Friday talking ISU. So great week, and enjoy getting the time to talk to everybody. So much sports stuff going on. Once again, Aaron Judge gets 62. I'm good with that. I'm good with Barry Bonds with his. I've got nothing. There's no asterisk. There's no you can't you get you just don't get to think things because you want to think things. And I'm good with Aaron Judge getting 62, being part of the American League. Don't care what others think. Just getting 62 home runs, almost won a triple crown. That's unheard of. He won the home run race by 16. Otani has been amazing. This one just popped up on my where did my phone go? I'm sitting here with my phone. Oh, there it is. There we go. Losing my mind. That's not easy or hard for it to happen to me. I just saw this stat about Mike Trout, so I want to pull it up. Here it is right here. Mike Trout is the sixth player all time to record 40-plus home runs in 120 fewer games in a season. Hank Aaron, Ken Griffey Jr., Matt Williams, J.D. Martinez, Nelson Cruz, and Mike Trout. So this is my thought process on Ohtani as well. I mean, his home run total goes up. His value goes up if Mike Trout plays 160 games, because then he gets protection and he protects him. It would be amazing what can happen with that. Here was the cool thing about Shohei Ohtani as well. He had more home runs than Giancarlo Stanton. He had a higher batting average than Mookie Betts. He had a lower ERA than Gerrit Cole. And he had more strikeouts than Justin Verlander. And all those guys were all-stars. So that shows his dual threat on there. So it's incredible. It's a fun story. It's just baseball's safe. It's good. It's going to be fine. And, I think there's so many stars now. And I think the teams, there's no overwhelming commanding team. The Dodgers won a lot of games. They got a lot of money. And I get that, but I don't think that they're going to have a hard time with other people getting, I think baseball's in a really good place, and I think they're going to be fine for some time. I'm trying to see if there's any breaking. Cole Beasley just came back. He was with Tampa Bay for two games and said, "Yeah, man, I'm the NFL hard. I think I'm good and I'm done." And he's done with football. On Friday, October 7th, today, October 7th, is the start of the playoffs. You get a 12 o'clock game, Tampa at Cleveland. You get a 2:07 game, Philadelphia, St. Louis. You get a 4:07 game, Seattle, Toronto, and San Diego and the Mets. Ask me if I think baseball is good. You have Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Seattle, Toronto, San Diego, and the Mets. None of those are, you know, if it, I just I don't think any of those are somebody going, hey, that's exactly what we thought we were going to get with Major League Baseball this year. So you have those teams I just announced, and then you have the Yankees and the Astros and the Braves and the Dodgers. The Dodgers had 110 wins. The Braves had 101. The Astros had 105, and the Yankees had 99. Point differential for the Yankees was 242. Point differential for the Astros was 218. Point differential for the Braves was 183. They came back and took it to the Mets. They finished 8-2. The Mets were 5-5, and they won it by a game. And the Dodgers are plus 329. You don't want to be a pitcher and have to face that lineup. That is a crazy, crazy lineup. Some interesting games this weekend, and we have plenty of time to talk about them for the rest of the week. You have a game in the Big 12 that usually is everybody's talking about, and that's Texas-Oklahoma, and nobody cares because you have the Kansas and the K-States and the TCUs and everybody else. That has your conference being continuing to grow and prosper. Teams coming in next year, Oklahoma, Texas still being there. It's going to be interesting. Not that, you know, it's to a point now where Oklahoma, Texas can't buy out. I thought the SEC might buy them out, but I guess they just said, you know what, we're good for now. We'll let that work itself out however it wants to. A lot of people are down on Frank Reich right now, Indianapolis Colts coach. It's not like he's not a good coach, but in weeks 1-5 since he's been coaching the Indianapolis Colts, their record is 6-18. 6-18. They are 29-16 in all. No, here we go. Sorry, take a step back. They're 9-14-1 in weeks 1-5. Weeks 6-18, they're 29-16. That puts him at 38-30-1. It's the Indianapolis Colts. It still gets him, you know, it still gets him playoffs. They're still trying to find a quarterback. Andrew Luck, I get what Andrew Luck did. He'd had a couple of injuries. He's a smart kid, graduated with honors from Stanford, comes from a amazing family, and said, listen, I got things. And I don't need to feel how I feel or lose things later in life because it's fun to play football. I get that. Once again, I don't know if everybody heard this one, but Circus Sports today, and I'm giving credit where credit was due. They were talking to Ken Miller on KXNO. I saw it on social media. Circus Sports thinks that Iowa and ISU have a good chance they may only be favored one more time each this year and may not even be that. That is shocking to me. It was shocking to Schaaf. I'm gonna go home. We're going to do a deeper dive into that and to see what I can pull up about all of that. Do you want to know how good the NFL is? The NFL on CBS, best game of the week, they've been averaging 20, the game of the week for them, they've been averaging 24 million viewers. All their other games, they're averaging 18. It's amazing what they have going on right now. And I mean, NFL is king. There's nothing else we can say about it. It's just that is the story. Okay, so I saved this one for either last or next to last. I'm going to do two really quick. Blake Bortles retired today. In his career, he had 103 touchdowns, 75 interceptions. He had seasons of 4,400 yards, 3,400 yards, 3,600 yards in times when they weren't that big. And holds 7 Jacksonville Jaguars record. But here's the big one. He made $48 million. And last but not least, the last one for this Wednesday, 43 years ago today, 350,000 people went to see somebody here in Des Moines, Iowa. If you guessed the Pope, You would be right. Living History Farms. Think about that. 43 years ago, I was 14. That is unreal. 350,000 people in any place that long ago was a big, big deal. Thank you very much for listening to Steen on Sports today on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. See you tomorrow.
Here's a look at traffic